Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to the second class of this new series called They Tell of the Glory of Your Kingdom and Speak of Your Might from Psalm 145. And this is a new preaching and teaching course on the basics of lesson preparation and presentation. Second class this week. We had a class last week and we had an introductory class the week before that, but this is the second sort of class proper. And we're aiming at, over the next several weeks, to talk about all the things that are most important in digging into a passage, preparing an outline, and then delivering it in an effective way in a preaching or teaching context. Could be a small group, anything really like that. Now this week, we're talking about how to explore the passage for yourself, how to dig into it, in other words. Now I'm assuming that you've chosen a text. I have chosen Luke chapter 7. It's verses 11 to 17. This is the story where he heals or brings back to dead from the dead the son of a widow. And that's the passage I'm going to be using for our course. Perhaps you'd like to use that passage, or perhaps you can choose one. Or perhaps if you're doing this with a group of people, you might like to choose the same passage and work through it all the way through this course. Could be a useful thing. You can compare notes. So I'm assuming that you have chosen your text. We talked about that last week, and I am using an exegetical process rather than a topical one here. Perhaps that's a class for another occasion. But anyway, we've got your text. Where do you start? When you've chosen your text, what do you do next? You soak yourself in that text. Soak yourself in it. Get to know it really well. This is why preparation ahead of time matters. I'd recommend anything from 2 weeks to a month ahead of time you're starting to prepare your lesson. Makes a big difference if you really know what you're talking about and you soaked yourself in it. Not just the facts, but the feeling of it. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. And this is before we start reading commentaries or Bible dictionaries. We're going to come on to that. I think that's next week's class. But at this point, we're just looking at it for ourselves from our own perspective. Now, I'm going to show you my method I've been using for at least 15 years, maybe 20 now. Of course, this is my way. In other words, this is one way to do it. It's not certainly not the way, but it's something that works well for me, which I use most of the time. So first of all, let me show you what I do in preparation. I have my selected passage on the left-hand side here. Let me select all the text and copy it. Now I'm going to paste it into this A4 document, and I want it to fill the page. So let's make it bigger and bigger until it fills the page. That should do. Let me move that underneath, and that's ready for printing. But I'm also going to put it into this landscape document. Let's paste it into here. But I'm going to add columns. Let me explain why in just a moment. Let's add invisible columns. Make this fill the first column. That should do. And then I'm going to print that as well. So let's go ahead and print both of those documents, and then we'll see what they look like in a moment. Here they come. First, my one with space for three columns, which I'll explain in a minute. Secondly, the one sheet of A4. Again, I shall explain what we're going to use that for in just a moment. So having printed it, what's next? Let me show you. Right, so here we have my A4 sheet of paper. I'm going to mark it up now, but I'll do it more quickly than I normally would if I was really preparing for a proper sermon, but just to give you an idea. Let me introduce you to my pen pot here, which has lots of different highlighters and pen colors in it. I use this, I get this out with my printout, and I start to mark things up. So let's begin with red, and I'm going to begin by noting the things that involves Jesus particularly. So we're going to just underline Jesus here, and they go along with him, and he's approaching the town gate. What else is he doing? The Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, he went. He said, Jesus gave him back to his mother, filled with the Lord, praise God. I'll just make a note of that too there. They said, God has come. So the news about Jesus spread. And we just see that emphasis on the presence of Jesus, the power of Jesus is in actions. But that's just one thing there. What about the other characters here? Let's take a blue pen to notice the other people involved. So we have disciples. We have a crowd. I mean, a large crowd, but a crowd. We have a dead person. The only son. There's the mother. She is a widow. There's the crowd again. I'm going to draw a line connecting those, because when I see things that are more than once, I draw a line like that. The Lord is a person, obviously. Jesus is a person as well. His heart went out to her, and he said, touch the bier. The bearers, specifically the bearers are mentioned. Young man, get up. The dead man here. He begins to talk, gives him back to his mother. The mother is mentioned, of course, a number of times here. The mother, the widow. And they were all filled. Who's they? Well, everybody here, right? They, the disciples, the crowd, the son, the mother, the bearers, filled with awe, praise God, great prophet. They're calling him a prophet, identifying him. God has come. God has come to help. Jesus, news about him spread. So we got characters, right? What about powerful words? I like to notice what I would regard as powerful words. So what are some powerful words? You could say, well, a large crowd. That's in a sense a powerful word because it's not just a few people. I would say dead is quite a powerful word. Dead persons being carried out. Widow is quite a powerful word. It's an emotive thought that somebody is a widow and now is burying her son. His heart went out to her. So I'll just put heart there, I think. And she's crying. That's why he says, don't cry. Other powerful actions or things going on here, I would say touched. He touched the bier. We'll come to the significance of that another time. And they stood still. You can imagine them just stock still there. He says, get up. There's an exclamation mark here, so like a command. And think of the drama as the dead man sat up and began to talk. These are all very dramatic moments. One of the reasons I selected this passage is because it's got a lot of drama in it. They're filled with awe. That's a powerful word. They praised. That's a powerful word. A great prophet. Great prophet. Okay, not just a prophet, any prophet, a great one. God has come to help. That's a powerful word. And the news spreads. So some powerful things going on there. Some words with weight to them are happening here. What about the actions? We've got a lot of actions going on here. Let me take this black pen. No, let's take a highlighter. Pink. Yes. Okay. So what's going on? He went, it says. So he's moving. The crowd goes along with him. He approaches the town gate. The dead person's being carried. When the Lord saw, his heart went out to her. He said, don't cry. He touched. They were carrying him on. They stood still. Get up. He sat up. He began to talk. Gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe, praised God. A great prophet appeared. They said, God has come to help his people. And the news spread. So these are actions, things that are happening. A lot of action, as you can see in this passage. It helps me to see what the action is. What else might we pull out from this? A couple of things to note. Just a couple of things to note, and I just sort of make a note here. Soon afterwards, that seems significant because, well, what's been going on before? I need to go back to the passage and notice what's happening before that led up to this, soon afterward. I would say perhaps also we could note or make a note to ask ourselves to look into what the significance is of being a widow in those days. It might be different from a widow these days in my time and culture. What is the significance of him touching? Something to note here. Touching the bier they were carrying him on. There must be something about that. What were the responsibilities of bearers in those days? Might be interesting to find that out. I think this is humorous myself. He got up and began to talk. I want to make a note of that and think about that a bit more. I have no idea what he said. We don't know, but what a strange thing. And they're filled with awe. A great prophet. I wonder what they meant by that, what the crowd perhaps thought they were seeing. God has come to help his people, the news spread. Okay, so there are some things I also want to think about a bit more. What other things? There's some objects we haven't talked about. Maybe I'll also make a note of that with... Oh, I've got another highlighter, haven't I? Okay, so the objects here that I want to make a note of, where's that gone? The beer. Okay, what would that have looked like? Because I might be able to illustrate that with a picture or something to help it come alive. And these bearers, what would they have been dressed in? What might that have looked like? And that might do for that. And I do also want to find out where Nain was and where he was coming from and going to. I might put a map up on screen or something like that. Again, just to give the context and a bit more understanding about Nain and the surrounding country, Judea. Let's have a look on a map for that while we're at it. And so here we have, quickly, normally I would take probably half an hour or more to do this, but at least it gives me a quick idea of some of the things that are happening, who's involved, the drama of it, the key words perhaps, words that are repeated. I do, again, if I had more time, I would do this with more time. But again, to draw lines connecting words that are repeated, because that's often significant, or phrases that are repeated, and noticing what's going on. So I hope that's helpful. That's stage one. That's stage one of digging into the text, finding out what is in here. Before I think about what it means, before I think about how to structure a lesson or anything, I need to get inside it and think about what's going on with Jesus, with his disciples, with the crowd, with the widow, with the young man, with all that's going on here. What were these different experiences like for Jesus, for his disciples, for the crowd, for the widow, for the young man? I'm beginning to get inside it, allowing my imagination to be creatively inspired to imagine being there and think what it was like. And then I can begin to think about why Luke recorded this, what God wanted us to see, and what it means for me and other people. Stage one, done. Let me explain now what I'm doing with this landscape view. I'm going to draw some columns here. Three, usually, sometimes four, but usually three. And these columns are to help me with the structure of what I'm doing. What I'm looking for here is potential structure for a lesson. What structure is within the story that might form a structure for the lesson? Because if you can find the same structure for your lesson as already in the passage, well, all the better. For example, Jesus is coming into Nain. It's setting the scene. This could be my introduction. And then he sees what's going on and his heart goes out to her and he says, "Don't cry." Now, we could make a break. We could just set the scene here, and then we could do Jesus interacting with the mother and the people there, and then we could have Jesus dealing with the young man, and then we could have the conclusion here, which is, well, it seems like it is the conclusion of the crowd from what has happened, so it makes a very natural conclusion. So you could have these sections here, Jesus noticing, Jesus' first interaction with the mother, and then Jesus notices Jesus with the mother and the bearers, I suppose, and Jesus with the son. Or we could again have the introduction here, which looks quite natural, and the conclusion here again looks quite natural. We could just break it into two. We could have Jesus noticing what's going on, and then we could have Jesus with the mother and the son. Or you could have the introduction and we could have Jesus noticing Noticing, and then we could have him expressing himself. Don't cry his heart going out to her. So that could be Jesus reacting, perhaps. And then we could have Jesus doing the healing. Perhaps that might be another possibility, and then a conclusion here. And as I'm doing this, I'm just trying to see what's naturally there in the passage, and then see whether that might form some kind of structure for a lesson. It doesn't have to, but if it's there, I like to use it that way. And as I'm doing that, I'm also beginning to think about what else I might say about the passage, Jesus reacting. What's it like when we react to things that are emotionally intense? How do I react when things are emotionally intense? What would it be like to be and see a healing? Have I seen anybody healed? What's it like to be healed? How do we notice things? Do we notice all the things that are going on around us? Jesus could have walked by without noticing, and yet he did stop to notice. So I'm beginning to think about that as well, possible, in a sense, illustrations or applications. So I find that this combination of the A4 one sheet and writing all over it, combined with this more structural exploration, brings me to a greater clarity about what's going on in the passage and how it might be structured. So you've printed it out, you've marked it up on your, like if you're doing it like me, your landscape version for some beginning, some initial thoughts about structure. You've got your piece of A4 scribbled all over the place. What comes next? Well, after printing and then marking it up, the third phase at this stage is to pray it through. Pray it through. Take this, perhaps this with you, and lay it out there and then pray through it and ask God, what do you want me to see from this? Or perhaps you take it with you on a prayer walk and pray about the things that are coming out. Perhaps you write down all those action words or all those things that stood out to you as being very strong words and pray about that in that passage. Pray it through and ask God to show you some things. What's emerging for you? And as things emerge for you, make a note. My method for making notes when I'm praying through these things is on my phone. I have an app called Drafts. I really like Drafts. It looks like this. It's nothing special. I think it's free. And in there, if it's just a few words, I make a note there and I save that to a folder in my Evernote app called Next Sermon. And all those notes go in there, and so I can go back and find them later. That's for short notes. If I think of something like a phrase or something longer I want to remember, then I'll do a voice memo. So you know what that probably looks like on your phone, whether you're using an iPhone or some other. You'll have some kind of voice memo, and so I'll record that while I'm out and about, and then I've got it there where I can get back later and make some notes, take it off the phone and put it somewhere else, like in that folder called Next Sermon. So that's what I'm doing there, and that makes it all neat and tidy in one place. I've got my sheets of paper, I've got my notes in Evernote, some voice notes, some text notes, and then, well, we then get to the next phase for the next time. But that's my method for digging into the text, getting to know it better myself. So my question for you is, what tools do you have to help you dig into the text, to really explore it, to get to know it, to dig out what's already there before you go to the commentaries? What tools do you have to help you explore the passage? What's worked for you so far in doing your Bible study to help you prepare for a lesson? What's made a difference for you so far? Let's share those with one another, and please share them with me. I'd love to know. And next time, we'll talk about how to use other resources like commentaries and Bible dictionaries. If you've got any thoughts on any of these classes, please drop me a line. You can leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording, or you can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. Any questions, any comments, I'd be glad to receive them. If you know anybody who might benefit from this recording, do pass the link on, and I'd be grateful for that too. Let me finish with this verse from Psalm 145, verse 4, to remind us of what we're doing here. One generation commends your works to another, they tell of your mighty acts. We're not here just to learn about a passage or study it. We're here to find what's in it to help other people so that they will then go and tell of God and his mighty acts to others. That is our privilege. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.